Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and I'm going to be speaking about the week beginning Monday, April 1st. April Fools, it's really going to be that day though. And Sunday, the 7th of April, is when the week will end. Now, before we get into it, let me just say that this is the week before a very important event takes place, and I'm sure most of you already know that we're about to have a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse, at the new moon in Aries, and it will take place at 2:21 p.m. in the Eastern Daylight Time on Monday, April 8th, and that this shadow is going to start in Mazatlan, Mexico, and go all the way in a diagonal up through the United States, crossing, of course, the famous Tex-Mex border, and going up to Newfoundland. So it's going to go through Vermont and New York. It's going to hit major cities. And I probably have in the post of the blog post the link to a website that will tell you what you need to know in each state of the United States about your visibilities and the time frames. So I will also have in the blog post a separate podcast for this momentous event. And, you know, I have my opinions about it, as always. You know, we all have opinions. I have lots of opinions. And an event that has been prophesied by the indigenous people for thousands of years is an important moment, not just an interesting total eclipse of the sun, but it is also that people are flocking to see it, to be under the shadow of this moment. Well, let's look at the week before. And when I say let's look at it, I mean we should be really paying attention because we are all going to have a change coming in the house where that eclipse falls, in Aries. Yes. But what we're looking at right now is that the very first day of April, April Fool's Day, and there's reasons that they called it that, but I can't remember them right now. You'll get them all in posts everywhere. People will be talking about it. That is the day that Mercury retrogrades in Aries. So, since it happens at 6:14 p.m. that evening of Monday the 1st in Eastern Daylight Time, it is happening as the moon in Capricorn is approaching the square to the sun in Aries at 11:15 p.m. And this is the demarcation time for the third phase of the lunar cycle to become the fourth phase, which is leading into the new moon. Okay? So we will already have Mercury retrograde. In the morning on the 1st at 12:05 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the moon enters that Capricorn sign and comes to sextile Mars and Pisces until 1:49 p.m. So we are in beneficial energies for getting some things handled and done. But Mercury is standing still. It was standing still on Easter Day. And so what I would say is that it would be helpful if you have had to drive or fly or something because of the festivities of the holiday, that you get yourself going before that sextile to Mars is exact, so that you'll have a little bit of a boost for your trip. Okay? But Mercury will be stationary, so you're still going to have to look around you and notice that there are many people whose minds aren't working. And they don't know it, but you do. So that makes you the responsible one on the road or in the plane or anywhere else. So Mercury, now I will go into the retrograde. because it's important information for us to have. Because when Mercury retrogrades on April 1st at 27 degrees of Aries at 6:14 p.m. in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, it will not be moving quickly. And so it's the kind of the deepest time of the retrograde feelings, you know, all the forgot where my keys are. Was that the day we were meeting? Oh, gosh. You know, all of that stuff is going to be more obvious to you until the 8th of April, when the Mercury will resume its 1 degree per day motion, even if it's going backwards, okay? So you have between the 8th and the 17th of April to have it not quite as intensely occurring, because Mercury is moving at least at normal speed, and that will be at 19 degrees as it's going backwards. It's going to start slowing down, and it will station direct on the 25th of April at 16 degrees. And so that is as far back as it's going, to 16 degrees, okay? So one of the things we can know is that it will be going direct, but it will be slow again until May 5th. And May 22nd will be when it finally gets beyond 27 Aries. So there's a big, you know, really isn't just the weeks of the actual retrograde, that we have to be aware of the mind not being quite as clear, but also in Aries being very frustrated because Aries is forward motion and wants to start things and wants, you know, the mind is leaping, wants to leap ahead. But leaping ahead during the retrograde can leave you saying, indeed, I've been very foolish, you know, that it starts on April Fool's Day, if I have made a major decision during that time, and especially during the time where you are still slow in the Mercury, like again, the 8th of April, or when it starts to slow down again on the 17th of April. So you've got about 9 days in there where it feels a little bit better. And of course, when Mercury's retrograde, you can go back into projects that you're already thinking about, you've already started or embarked upon. So it's not as though you can't do anything. And all those rewords that we talk about, research, review, revisit, even repair, or, you know, any of the re-energy words are very supported during Mercury retrograde. And where you'll be going back to sometimes is when it was direct at 16 degrees, which was March 19th. So the period of time between March 19th and April 1st may have been a time when you got yourself involved in some ideas or projects, you know, and those would be very appropriately looked over, okay, and redone. That would be something that we could see. But, again, we are looking at a retrograde time, so the impatience of the mind will be a detriment when things are slowed down. And, you know, it's more likely in Aries that you won't take the time to make the list before you go shopping or things like that. But those are the small parts, and the big parts are, you know, what is happening that you're instigating. Try not to instigate it until you get at least to the 25th of April, when it will go direct motion, still slow, till May 5th. Okay? So that is what you need to know about Mercury's retrograde, all fire sign retrogrades this year. The next fire sign retrograde will be in the sign of Leo in August. All right, so that will be August 4th through the 28th, so pretty much August. And then, of course, we'll have the Sagittarius retrograde. Oh, that's funny. It ends on my birthday, which is the 15th of December. So from the 11th to the 25th, I mean the 11/25 to December 15th, that will be the retrograde cycle of Sagittarius. And it's, you know, won't be moving yet on my birthday. It'll be like, hello, I'm going to move. This has kind of been like the story of my life, though, already. So maybe I'm used to it by then. You know, I thought this would happen sooner, but yike, there's so many things, so many obstacles. Oh, well, I shouldn't complain. One of the things that's coming into the week that has that eclipse, though, that we will be looking at, is the Mars-Saturn conjunction also happens that week. So that's another good reason for me to give you the podcast on the eclipse this week, because there's lots to talk about with that. All right, so again, Monday, retrograding at 6:14 p.m., Moon square Sun, 11:15 p.m. So that whole time period between like 1, you know, say 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 11:30-ish in the evening is where your instinctive responses and your expression that wants to move forward, the instinctive is saying, wait a minute, take a look at this, be cautious. You should be listening to that one. And the Aries Sun that's going, no, full speed ahead. That is, you know, going to be also pictured outwardly in difficulty with dealing with others, especially anyone in leadership or authority positions. After that, the Moon in Capricorn is sextile Saturn in Pisces until 12:46 a.m. on Tuesday. And overnight for the Eastern time zone, but you'll still experience this out west, the Moon will trine Jupiter in Taurus. And it will complete in Eastern time at 7:44 a.m. So you may wake up feeling, everything's going to be all right. It's really going to be perfect. And I feel happy. So that's good, right? And you have a trine from Moon in Capricorn to Uranus in Taurus until 1:20 p.m. that day. So that early part for us on Tuesday the 2nd is that feels kind of structured and feels like we're doing what we should do and everything's going fine. After that, though, we've got a Moon in Capricorn square Mercury in Aries that runs through the rest of Tuesday until 12:11 a.m. So that's where you may get some difficulty as the Mercury is slow and the Moon in Capricorn is the authority figure and Mercury is having no luck, no luck getting any traction there. So we go to Wednesday after 12:11 a.m. We have a Moon in Capricorn sextile Venus in Pisces, that's at 12:58 a.m., and a sextile to Neptune in Pisces until 1:40 a.m. So the West Coast people who are still up will enjoy that. That can be romantic. That can be a very soft time, an easy time. And it's not very long, from 12:11 a.m. to 1:40 a.m., but it's something, right? Void, of course, Capricorn moon until the moon enters Aquarius at 5:08 a.m. and joins Pluto in Aquarius at 8:23 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday. When the moon joins Pluto, you can become obsessive because the feeling nature is identifying with some passion, some need for power, some need for change, some whatever. And in Aquarius, that's magnified. You know, freedom, equal rights, all of that. I'm not saying it's bad, but when we obsess, we can become very imbalanced, right? So we have to remember that it's not just us. The people around us may also be becoming that way. And it certainly doesn't do any good to try to converse with obsession, does it? You know, like, let it pass. Hopefully it won't stay that way. We have a very interesting energy coming in, and it's been coming in since Tuesday, and that is Venus in Pisces making the conjunction to Neptune. That's at 9:10 a.m. So you can guarantee that people are not seeing things as clearly as they could, especially during that Pluto conjunction, right? And there's a lot of, feelings about people who are suffering and idealization of saving, people. It's enough just to have Venus in Pisces to be kind of, the one that picks up all the wounded birds, takes them home and finds out that they won't, if you get them well, they fly away. that's a real issue for people who have that kind of love. There's suffering attached to it. But if you are aware of this energy, then you can use it for its highest expression, which is in the creative arts or in spiritual work, or just put on some beautiful, uplifting music or one of those programs that uses the right hertz. Just let that be playing in the background and make you feel good kind of stuff. Why not? I mean, that's a much better way of using it than, becoming a martyr to something. Well, as that's coming in, if you begin a creative endeavor that you've already been working on and you start working on it, the moon in Aquarius will be giving you a good ride because it's moving sextile sun in Aries until 6:45 a.m. on Thursday, the 4th of April. So you have some great energy for creating something that you might get someone to look at or listen to, or some group energy or plan for the future that may be meeting with positivity, at least during this sextile. And then on Thursday after 6:45 a.m., we've got the moon going square Jupiter and Taurus until 11:43 a.m., where we may find out that some of our financial ideas about that wonderful project are not quite right. People aren't in agreement about values or finance with the moon square Jupiter, and you can also go overboard, overindulge or overspend, overextend yourself in group issues at that point in time. So be aware, because the moon will square Uranus and Taurus at 4:24 p.m. and some sudden upheaval or change is likely. So if you don't have to be out and about right at that 4:24 p.m. Eastern, which would be 1:24 p.m. on the West Coast, That would be good because there's, again, you've got a Mercury that isn't even up to speed yet, retrograde, and people out there who may be doing surprising changes that you wouldn't have expected. But here's a change that you could have expected because we were near the end of Pisces with Venus, and on the fourth day of April, she will move into Aries. And while she is doing that, Mercury is getting a sextile. Retrograde Mercury is getting a sextile from the moon in Aquarius. So all our ideas now about freedom and individuality are getting a boost. And also, Venus entering that Aries sign is also quite fond of freedom. She will make that entry really at 12 a.m. on Friday the 5th, and the moon's aspect will complete at 1:40 a.m. on Friday the 5th. That's the sextile to retrograde Mercury. So we have that impassioned idea before we go to bed here in the East Coast, but again, you're still awake in the evening out there in the West Coast. So, but if it's something that, again, you have already been involved with, then you've got some signal here that says, okay, you can work on that. Moon goes void, of course, after that sextile to Mercury. And let's talk a little bit more about Venus and Aries then. Well, Venus in Aries is going to be the love nature that is actually the one that gets off on that little bit of argument. You know, in all these rom-coms, you know, that you see, the what they have called now the cute meat is usually an antagonistic event between two strangers. And yet there's something that gets stimulated by that antagonistic moment, and that will continue and find itself expressing as romance. You know, we know the plot. We can pretty much guess exactly what's going to happen when we see a cute meet like that, right? So this is Venus in Aries. That's what we're looking at. Loves the chase, loves the beginning. Isn't as good at the long term and needs a lot of freedom. So that's one of the things that we're going to be seeing in love nature in general. Venus will be, let's see how long she's going to be in that sign. She'll be in Taurus by the beginning of May, I believe. Yeah, she gets actually the 30th of April is when she leaves Aries and moves into Taurus, which is the sign of her rulership. And so it'll all calm down, you see. But while she's there, you know, she will be spending on adventures and things that are more active and exciting. Also, it rules the head and the face. You know, people with Venus in Aries can be very beautiful, or Venus rising in the first house, naturally bestowed by this planet. And the house that you have Aries in, that's public house, either the first house or the 10th house right above your head, you will be looking better while Venus is moving through that house. You'll be more attractive and stuff. But Venus will spend money also on that. Makeup, cosmetic surgery, because, you know, it's going to be tricky with Mercury retrograde, though, let me just say. I don't think I would be having cosmetic surgery with a Mercury retrograde in Aries. But if you've already got one scheduled, don't blame me. And maybe it'll be fine. Hopefully you picked a day with good aspects other than that. But Venus will spend on that enhancement of the beauty. Leo does more with hair, but hair is on your head, so Venus may also be interested in spending more on that as well. and the adornments that, you know, would be earrings, let's say, might be more attractive these days with Venus in Aries. Also, the color red becomes a little bit more attractive because Aries is that bright scarlet red. And, yeah. So that's the kind of thing we can say about her in that sign. Okay? So, moving into the day of April 5th, Moon in Pisces, 7:13 a.m., makes the conjunction to Mars in Pisces. And that's the whole day that's coming in because it doesn't complete till Saturday the 6th at 1:08 a.m. So you don't feel it until it gets closer. Probably, you know, not until about 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. But there's, you know, kind of issues with this because Mars doesn't express itself easily in Pisces, and the Moon doesn't in Pisces either. So there will be a tendency towards what we would call passive-aggressive behavior. And you just know something is so annoying. And, you know, you can't quite figure out why somebody's behaving the way they are or whatever. You would also have to be careful. You know, you can have hot water issues come up for you. Steam and such like that. So do be aware. But 1:08 a.m. is when it's exact on Saturday the 6th, followed by the Moon's conjunction to Saturn at 6:10 a.m. that Saturday morning. So you're feeling kind of low. Maybe the dreams had those energies in it. Maybe you're dreaming a psychic message about what Mars-Saturn conjunction is going to look like for you. And that's going to be kind of a tricky one. We'll talk about that next week. And in the house in which it takes place is also going to be a feature for you. So, however, we are happy on the 6th because once we get past 6:10 a.m. Eastern Time, we've got Moon in Pisces sextile Jupiter in Taurus until 1:13 p.m. So we lighten up, we brighten up. We get some good ideas about things we might want to do. Very good day to be out in nature, to be able to see the spring if it's starting to show in your area. It will be very uplifting, and especially if there's also a water element like waterfall or a lake or river, stream, sea, wherever you might be. And Venus in Aries is having a great time that particular day because she's sextile Pluto in Aquarius until 1:46 p.m. So if that's a cute meet, that's a faded cute meet. Might not last forever because Aquarius is involved and Aries. But it certainly will be exciting, that's for sure. And then the Moon is going towards the Moon in Pisces is going towards a sextile to Uranus and Taurus until 5:11 p.m. So that is a very good day for these kinds of outdoor events or for preparational energies, which you can also do on Sunday the 7th for the coming eclipse. Well, we'll be talking about the preparational energies in the podcast on the eclipse. But you can definitely be setting some intentions now. And it would be good if you did it before 5:11 p.m. However, there's a huge psychic downpour with Moon conjunction Neptune in Pisces after 5:11 p.m. on Saturday and until 4:27 a.m. on Sunday the 7th. So here you've got this window of psychic energy. So you can also use that if you're in a ceremonial state to very good advantage. If you know your ceremonies and you know what to do, what kind of ceremony to do. And Also, however, if you're not in that, then you want to be careful because things aren't as they seem. Weather may be difficult, and also the toxic energies may be in your environment at that time. So that is until, again, 4:27 a.m. on Sunday the 7th. Sunday the 7th is the first day of the workshop I'm doing with Gabriel Moje. It's 6 weeks. And by the time you get this into your inbox, it is the last day for the early registration for this incredible journey that we're going to take, the symbolism and such of the essential oils and herbs that make them connect to the astrology and is a way of combining. I do that frequently in my daily forecasts on my Astrolessons page. I may suggest certain essential oils or Bach flower remedies, but we are going to get into that, and that's going to be quite an interesting adventure. So I probably, in the blog post, will have the link. But the website is aromatherapy-studies.com. And that is where you can get registered. And 31st is the last day for the early registration. You get it recorded and everything. So if you have to miss one of the 6 weeks, everybody gets the recordings with the slides and the notes, but you know, you won't miss it because you'll have it. So the first class is on Sunday the 7th, and the moon is in Aries, which is a sign of beginnings, 7:25 a.m., and it is making a sextile first to Pluto in Aquarius at 10:31 a.m. So you may be finding some really interesting information, some deep information about the energies that are coming with the eclipse, for instance. And at 12:22 p.m., the moon is conjunction Venus in Aries. That's 12 p.m. Eastern time is when that workshop begins. So we have that adventure and working with the plant kingdom, which is Venus also. And so after this Venus conjunction, which for you, if you're not getting ready to sit down for that Zoom meeting, you may be having a really good morning on the 7th with people who are up for new and exciting and adventures and all of that kind of thing. We do not have another aspect come in until the new moon arrives with the eclipse at 2:21 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. So that's kind of what it looks like for the week leading up to this major event, and I'll tell you why it is so unusual. If you have been on my author update list, you've already gotten a taste of what I will be saying about that part of the eclipse energy, because it was relating to certain aspects of the life story of Anwen, and it actually validated the reason that the books were published right now. I could just never understand what was keeping me from getting this to happen. Since I got the information starting to come in, I got the assignment in 1999 and started writing in 2000, off and on. Why 23 to 24 years before they were published? Well, apparently it had something to do with this eclipse. And I guess it was also a reason that I felt I had to. Friends of mine will know. I was very like, I have to get them out now. No, I can't wait. I have to put them out. You know, so I understand it now. So you've already seen some of that if you had your post. That probably came in over the weekend also. So you will be getting that full eclipse podcast also, just as you got this one. And when we look beyond the eclipse that's coming in on the 8th, we will be looking at the Mars-Saturn conjunction coming in on the 10th, Wednesday the 10th, at 4:36 p.m. We'll talk about that. And again, that can be a very important moment. Also on the 10th of April is when I will be interviewed again by Karen Tate at 2 p.m. And it's a blog talk, that's Eastern time, a blog talk radio. And I do have, because I've gotten the phone information, Blog Talk Radio is live. And you can call in, and at a certain point, she will ask if anyone has questions or wants to make comments. So, but I will have that recording. You'll get that, but I won't get that for a little while after the interview. And what I'm talking about is actually, it's amazing how these things work out, isn't it? The synchronicities. I'm going to talk about the Welsh goddesses, the Neo-Druid goddesses, and how they appear to the modern woman, and the myths and what they're telling us about women. And this is way after these myths of these goddesses come way after the lifetime of Anwen, the Druid priestess of the late 5th and early 6th century. This is medieval, as we think of medieval, 11th and 12th century writings. So it's quite interesting. And the goddess has a lot of work to do to overcome some of the things that were originally put on by the Greeks, but definitely in medieval times. So it'll be an interesting conversation, and you will have the ability to hear it live if you so choose. Well, that's a lot, and I'm going to say I'm wishing you all the best, as I always do, and I'll say goodbye for now.